Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. I'm Jonathan Friedman, and our next guests in the studio are Bruce Patz and Caroline Catlender. Welcome.
Thank you.
Good morning.
You guys are from Total HR Solutions.
We are, yes.
You want to give us an overview of the company and what it is that you do?
Yeah, sure. So we're a small boutique HR company. We are based in Acton, Massachusetts. So, you know, we really specialize in serving the small business client. So that client who, you know, for one reason or another, doesn't have their own HR department. We can go in and take over for them for their HR. We can complement someone they already have in place there. But we can do their HR from soup to nuts.
So real, as you said, soup to nuts, outsourced HR solutions.
Absolutely.
And very customized because different clients need different things. And some clients may be able to take care of some of the needs in-house and may only want pieces done. So we can really make the solution very customized depending on a client's needs, their size, their goals.
And the range can be from just a few full-time staff up to?
Absolutely. I think our largest client has about 700 employees.
Oh, wow.
But we can go from very small, couple, you know, just a couple employees all the way up.
I imagine that client with 700 people has one HR person in-house, perhaps.
A couple, yeah.
Good stuff. So you're sitting in front of us at a time. It's an interesting time.
Absolutely.
Obviously, there's a lot going on in the world of not only employee benefits, employee satisfaction, employee interaction, but timeliness of sexual harassment seems to be something that we hear about virtually every day.
Yeah.
Coming to us from industry, coming from various industries. You guys deal with that a lot, I suspect. And what are you seeing in the marketplace? How are you advising your clients? What are they doing to prevent being accused of sexual harassment?
Right. We do. I mean, it's certainly not the first time that we've addressed the topic. It's something that we look at when we do any kind of policy development, handbook development for any client. But the culture in the country right now is such that it's just a topic that's at the forefront. I think it's a good thing. I think a lot of people who unfortunately have experienced sexual harassment feel empowered to come forward now and speak up. I also think, you know, companies are looking at themselves, and I think it's an opportunity for them to look at themselves very honestly and say, you know, what are we doing right and what could we do better? What is our culture in our company that is maybe promoting this kind of behavior or preventing this kind of behavior? But it's certainly something that, you know, a vast majority of our clients and new clients coming on board are talking to us about.
So it's really interesting because a lot of these things that are topical and, you know, not to get into politics or anything, but, you know, gun debates and things, it seems that a lot of high profile companies are trying to get out ahead of these things by being proactive and saying, you know, we're taking an approach. And, you know, if that's a great PR move or a marketing move and if it's, you know, hopefully it's real. Wondering, since you deal predominantly with smaller companies, are you seeing that same trend where companies are trying to get out ahead of it and saying, how do we be proactive? How do we make sure that we're viewed as a progressive company that, you know, prevents or takes these things seriously? Are you seeing some of that in the smaller scale companies as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think like anything, you know, it's the bigger companies that get the recognition and they get the PR. So you hear about them trying to get ahead of this problem or this issue, but certainly the small businesses are doing the same thing. I think they're recognizing that, you know, maybe there's more we could do for our employees and our business to protect them. So they are coming to us. And I think, you know, we kind of approach it from, I mean, a couple different angles, but we look at it really from a three-step method, right? So like any time you have a challenge in your business, evaluating where you're at. So looking at your culture, looking at your policies and procedures, and evaluating, you know, where there may be some voids that you need to fill. And then from there, making a game plan. We talked a little bit at the beginning about policy development and handbooks and, you know, what is that game plan to get you where you need to be? We tell all our clients things are not going to change overnight. It's going to take some time, but there are certainly things that they can do right away in terms of putting policies in place, adopting a no-tolerance policy across the board, but putting that game plan together. And then the most important part is executing that game plan. And I think so many times in business, and I think we've probably all been in companies where there's brainstorming sessions and planning sessions and nothing ever comes of it. So the most important step is taking that game plan and executing it. And I certainly think with the topic of sexual harassment, from a liability standpoint, you have to execute that game plan.
So it would seem to me that a lot of what you're talking about is the policy development and executing on a game plan. But what I always feel is sometimes it becomes just lip service. You know, great, we've checked the box.
Right.
And I think what I hear you saying is we don't need to only talk the talk, but we need to live it.
The most important thing for an employer to do when they establish policies, especially in the area of sexual harassment or really anything for that matter, is that when an issue comes up, is acting on it. The worst thing an employer can do is try to convince somebody or an employee that, oh, you don't, you know, this isn't really what happened, mm-hmm. or not validating that person and sweeping
it under the rug.
Right. and sweeping it under the rug. And I'll tell you, millennials have really have driven, they're as large as the baby boomer generation. They're really driving a lot of what's going on in HR in terms of mm-hmm. how they view the workplace. Well, and I think that this area, this sexual harassment is just, not that they're, I mean, it's always been an issue, but I think that millennials really have the wherewithal and they look at things differently. So they're bringing a lot of these workplace issues to light now that I think previous generations kind of just accepted.
Right, yeah. Accepted it was part of the fabric. This is who we are and what can I change? And it's interesting you mentioned that because I think what we're seeing in the millennial generation, or at least my observation, is it's a much more open generation about virtually everything. There doesn't seem to be any boundaries.
Acceptance.
But not only acceptance, but everything seems to be public discourse, and everything from, bodily habits to, and they're just out there with
it's
everything.
It's all on social media.
And so it's a much more open exchange, right. Whether it's ideas or thoughts. And so it would be natural that this stuff would bubble up. I would imagine that creates challenges for environments or companies that are multi-generational in nature.
We've actually talked about this, and Carolyn, you can probably talk a lot about when you have baby boomers and millennials, and of course, being part of Generation X, we're this small generation in the middle, but there's really, a lot of this ends up becoming cultural issues in the workplace, and not just people from different, ethnic backgrounds. It's really more sometimes age.
Absolutely.
That creates a lot of potential division that has to be worked on as you're thinking of a successful workplace.
And that's what I was going to say earlier is, it's one thing to have policies and procedures in place, but it's a whole other thing to adopt a culture of, whether there's forms or whether there's action ideas or things that actually change behaviors.
Right.
And point out behaviors that are inappropriate, et cetera.
Policies and procedures are just checking the box, right? We can write policies, we can put processes into place, but unless you're living it, and unless you're executing it, you're not doing the right thing, right? And you're not doing the job that you need to do to protect your employees and to protect your business. So, and we definitely, with millennials, I think we were talking in the hallway before the show, and, we were saying, a baby boomer may hold the door open for a young millennial woman walking in thinking that he's doing the right thing and being a gentleman. She could absolutely be offended by that.
And we've seen that, actually.
We've seen it. Why are you holding the door for me? Is it because I'm a woman, right? Now, does it mean that he shouldn't hold the door for her? No, it doesn't. It absolutely doesn't. But culturally, what does that look like? Are we holding the door for everybody, right, that comes our way? If there was a gentleman walking, are we holding the door for them? But that is when we talk about everything being open with millennials. And I think just jumping back real quick to something Bruce said as far as, maybe in previous generations, they would just sweep things under the rug and ignore them. And you said about millennials, that can cause some problems. It can also create, I think, great opportunity. Something we talk about in our training is intervention training. So it's kind of that see something, say something. The millennials are the ones who, if they see a coworker being harassed in any way, are the most likely to stand up and say something and defend that person and help that person, file that report and talk about what's happened. And I think, that's a good thing, mm-hmm. right? Because if we're not talking about we're sweeping under the rug, we're not doing anybody any favors.
So let's go back to the range of services. You talked about training. Yeah. You talked about development of policies, handbooks, those types of things. So your typical engagement, and I guess there's nothing typical about it because you customize it to every client's needs.
But this stuff, there's the range of the middle 60 or 70% that you see more often.
So why don't you just enlighten us on the range of services that you typically, or what a typical engagement, if there is such a thing, might look like, and does that always involve developing policies and developing procedures, and always involve some sort of training aspect, and is that training far-reaching through the organization, or is it just leadership?
Good question.
Give us an idea of how you engage with your clients.
Well, and again, I think, like Bruce said, it's so customizable that it really depends what they're coming in for. So we're talking about sexual harassment, so let's talk about harassment and training and that kind of thing. Certainly a company can look at themselves and they can do that evaluation themselves. They can put a game plan together themselves and they can execute it themselves. At some point, I think if you know, they take an honest look, there's a point where they need to reach out and get some resources. So, you know, when they come to us, that's kind of what we walk them through. We evaluate what their needs are, whether it's harassment related or HR in general. We do that assessment.
Yeah, we do an HR assessment. Need. So usually it starts with an assessment to say, where are we at now?
Okay.
Where are
right.
you
so
at
level
now?
Set and make
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely. Okay. Do you have a handbook? Do you have this policy? Do you, you know, do you have the required labor law posters on the wall? Which seems like an easy thing,
right?
But if they're not there, that's a problem.
Well, what must be amazing is the compliance rate must be a lot lower than you could possibly imagine. And, you know, I found that through working yes. with small businesses is the intention is always there, but
exactly.
reality is a different set of circumstances.
I think what happens is, you know, plumbers like to plumb, payroll
yeah.
companies like to do
right.
payroll, and restaurant owners like to serve hamburgers.
Right.
Right.
So, you know, what ends up happening is people end up trying to spend their time what they're passionate about.
Right.
Most people are not passionate about human resource compliance.
Right.
So it's something that kind of gets thrusted upon them as they get bigger and bigger and bigger. It gets more and more and more complicated. And a lot of these owners are taking on more risks than they understand,
right.
even.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to say, because I think there's also that awareness component. Is the regulation and the awareness
right.
of it and the fact that it's continually changing
right.
is something that, you know, you're worried about what's the latest and greatest in plumbing, not what's the latest greatest in HR.
That's right.
And that's really what Bruce said is really the next step. So after we do that assessment and see where they're at, right, and level set, we talk to them about risk. So we say, you know, these are the areas where there's a void and these are the areas where we can help you. And they may not be in a position financially or from even just a time standpoint where they can tackle everything at once. So we'll review with them. Well, these are your biggest risks, right? This is where you have the most liability. These are the things that we recommend that you start with. These are other things, you know, this is medium level risk and this is lower risk, to kind of help them to put that game plan together of mm-hmm. how they're going to tackle whatever it is in their HR world that they need to tackle.
And has there been a dramatic shift over the last decade or so as you've seen more distributed workforces? Because I think that layers on another level of complexity, not only from a state compliance issue, but, you know, I've got a sexual harassment policy, but I've got three people in their home offices in California.
Right. Yeah, we see that all the time. We have clients who, you know, can be based in Massachusetts, but they have different pockets of workforces all across the country.
Or even within the state, there's people that work at home, people that come into the office. The way people work is very different.
Very
now.
Different, yeah.
And that must layer on another level of complexity
it
from
does.
HR
it can.
Perspective.
It does, yeah.
Now, and the fact is social media now is very different. There was no social media, you know,
right.
20 years ago.
Right.
So people, you know, there's all these social media policies now you have to consider with you know, employment.
It's always interesting to me that, and just small, again, generalization, but millennials find it odd that companies can track their email, yet they put everything out on social media. So
right.
it's like, you know, it should
right.
be fairly straightforward.
Track what I want you to track,
right.
but leave everything else alone.
right.
Yeah,
right.
yeah.
So very interesting. Interesting stuff, and I'm sure we could talk about all the implications for hours and all the
we
various
do every
nuances.
Day, so yeah, we could.
So, our guests in the studio are Bruce Patz and Caroline Catlander of Total HR Solutions. If people want to reach out to you and learn more about your services and how to engage with you, what's the best way for them to reach you?
Yeah, so they can call our office. The number is 978-298-5454, or they can send us an email. It's service, so service, at totalhrsol.com. And any one of our client HR managers will get back to them.
Yeah, website www.totalhrsol.com.
And we're on all the social media platforms, too. Of course.
Make sure
of
your policy is compliant.
Of course.
It's been a real pleasure having you
Thank
on
you.
And learning about not only your business, but how to protect entrepreneurs out there. And I'm sure you're fighting the battle every day.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you
for having us.
Excellent. Our guests, again, have been Bruce Patz and Caroline Catlander of Total HR Solutions. And we'll be right back with another story on Radio Entrepreneurs.